Hi, you're listening to a message from Ford Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
Today I want to share with you a passage of scripture out of the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. The Bible says in verse 18, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope, he believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God." If there's anything that is happening right now, right across the church, right across Forward at Home, I believe that God is strengthening our faith, and the strengthening of that faith is causing people everywhere to give glory to our God. Could you shout a big amen right where you are? Amen. You're doing so good. "Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised." I want somebody to hear it today, that God has the power to do what he already promised. God watches over his own word to see his word come to pass, and whatever he's spoken into your life, whatever dreams he's given you, whatever word he's given you, I want you to know that the current situation does not change God's promise. In fact, somebody here needs to hear that one day the storm will end, one day this isolation will end, but God's word will never end. God's word will never stop, it's not irrevocable. So God's about to do something powerful in your life. And then it goes on in verse 22. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The title of my message today, if you're making notes, I'd love for you to write this down. The title of my message today, an enduring hope. An enduring hope. If there was anything that Abraham was renowned for, he's renowned for many things. He was the father of the faith. He was the father of the nation of Israel. He received the Abrahamic blessing in the book of Genesis chapter 11. There are many things that he is well known for. But one of the things he is absolutely known for, he is known as a man who had enduring hope. And no matter what the situation looked like, no matter what the circumstances may have seemed, Abraham was a man who chose to have enduring hope. The word enduring is such a powerful word. Enduring means persist, to prevail, to abide, to be permanent. Enduring means to be everlasting. It's constant. It's steadfast. It's fixed. It is unwavering. It is unfaltering, and it is unchanging. And I believe that right now, God is calling us, and God is depositing a word of faith that is enduring in the name of Jesus. I need somebody to shout that word nice and loud, enduring. 1, 2, 3. You're awesome. Enduring hope. That there are three things out of this passage of scripture that I want to leave with you today. When it comes to being a person who has and holds to enduring hope. Because if there was ever anything that we need in the world today, if there was ever anything that our world is searching for right now, it is for an enduring hope. And there are three things that I want to give you in relation to Abraham's life that enabled him to be a person of enduring hope. Number one, Abraham became what he believed. The Bible tells us that Abraham, it says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. In other words, although everything around him said there's no reason to have hope, Abraham chose to have hope. In hope, he believed. And then it goes on, it says, he believed it and so became. You become what you believe. You are absolutely the product of what you believe. Abraham believed and so became. And I want to encourage you today that whatever you believe, you will receive from. If you believe doubt, then you become doubtful. If you believe fear, you become fearful. But if you believe hope, You become hopeful in the name of Jesus. A believing people are a hopeful people. Psalms chapter 130 verse 5 says, I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in His word I hope. Not in man's word. Not in other people's word. Not in circumstantial word. Not in the economy word. Not employment word. But in God's word I hope. Psalms 119 verse 81. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. Don't allow things to steal your peace or steal your joy, but allow God to continue to give you an enduring hope because you become what you believe. Number two, the second thing about Abraham, this is so incredible. Abraham faced the facts and he saw opportunity. Verse 19 says that without weakening in his faith, he faced the facts that his body was as good as dead since he was 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, but he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Abraham faced the facts and he saw opportunity. Abraham faced the facts and he did not waver through unbelief. Hope does not avoid the facts. Hope does not hide from the facts. And clearly, there are a whole bunch of challenges right now in the world we live in. And we're not putting our head in the sand. But in the middle of all of these challenges, I wonder what opportunities that the Lord has before us. He's not acknowledging the fear. He's acknowledging the facts. But whilst acknowledging the facts, he sees the opportunity. See, when we face the fears, then all we see is destruction. But when we face the facts, then we can see God opportunity in the name of Jesus. Yes, there are challenges going on around us, but I want to encourage you today, in the middle of facing the facts, don't look to the facts for your answer. Don't look to the facts for your solution. See the facts and look to God. The Bible says, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God. Let's disregard the folly. Let's disregard the fear. Let's face the facts and see what God could do. And I know that there are many people even right now watching and you might be isolated. And you're saying, well, you know, I'm isolated and you know, I don't know what to do. And you know, I'm kind of like, you know, caught up in this little square and I've got nowhere to go and I'm bored and I don't know what to do. Well, can I encourage you? You might be isolated, but what a great opportunity it is to spend time with your family. I saw a post this week where someone posted to all the dads and it was a little joke. He said to all the dads who've told their wives that they'll do that job when they get home. Well, hey, this is an opportunity to get all those jobs done while you're at home. Hey, we may be in lockdown, but we can still connect with others. We may have social distance, but that doesn't have to mean social isolation. We have a thing called the phone. We have a thing called FaceTime. We have a thing called the internet and we can stay engaged with one another. We can call that loved one that we've been thinking about. We can have that conversation that we've been meaning to have. We can speak to that person that we haven't spoken to for a long time. Heck, maybe read a book. Hey, maybe write a song. Hey, we can do all sorts of things in this moment of opportunity. And here's a radical concept. Maybe, just maybe, in this environment of, you know, forced isolation and lockdown, maybe, just maybe, we could use this time to seek God. Maybe, just maybe, we could use this time to pray. Maybe, just maybe, we could use this time to have encounters with our Lord. We're forced to come to a standstill. We're forced to not run around. We're forced to come and sit. And that's maybe, just maybe, that's exactly where God wants some of us to be right now. Maybe, just maybe, God is resetting our norm and saying, hey, come and sit. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, and God, whom shall I trust? Hey, I want you to understand today that social distance could mean an opportunity for divine closeness. Hey, let's see this as an opportunity. Face the facts and see opportunity. And number three, the third thing about Abraham that I want to give to you is that Abraham was fully persuaded that God had power to do what He had promised. Abraham was fully persuaded. I want you to shout that out real loud, fully persuaded. One, two, three. You are awesome. You're preaching so good. That Abraham was fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. In other words, Abraham's faith was in God and God's ability to outwork everything. Abraham's faith was not in man. It wasn't in government. And we should pray for our government, by the way. His faith wasn't in his family or, you know, his boss or anything like that. But he was fully persuaded that God had the power. Abraham himself may not have had the power. In fact, sometimes we can look at our own selves and go, well, I can't do it. I don't have the power. And I want to encourage you, friends. That's true for all of us. But there is a God who does have the power. There is a God who is for you. There is a God who strengthens you. There is a God who's with you, who's on your side. He's in your corner. There is a God who has the power. And when we're fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised, then we don't waver in unbelief. You know, yes, times are uncertain, but we serve a God who's unshakable. Yes, times look different right now. And clearly things are about to change. And I want to encourage you, let's not be focused on trying to get back to the life we had, because the life we had is not here anymore. Instead, let's be looking forward. We're fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. That God is coming to bring life. That God is coming to bring peace. God is bringing joy to your life. So let's be fully persuaded that God will do what God has promised to do. Unbelief causes us to waver. In fact, unbelief is faith in the wrong kingdom. Faith comes by hearing by the word of the Lord. So we've got to keep hearing what the Lord says. We've got to keep our ears inclined towards God's word, fully persuaded that God has power to do what he has promised in your life. In 1981, there was a family who were driving along a motorway in Lower Hutt, Wellington. And they were driving along this road. And as they were driving along the road, there was a family. There was mum and dad at the front. And those were the days where children didn't have their own car seats. In fact, there was a two-year-old who was sitting on the lap of the mother on the front seat. And what happened was that car had a head-on crash on that highway. And the car spun out of control. And that child was thrown out of the windscreen, through the windscreen, onto the highway. And the mother, just out of sheer instinct, everyone in the car was unconscious. The mother jumped out of the car, grabbed the baby, waved down a car that was coming at 100 kilometers an hour, waved the car down and jumped in the car and went to the Hutt Hospital, which is only a few minutes down the road. Got to the Hutt Hospital. When they arrived there, they went into the emergency department, and the doctor said to this mother, "This is not looking good for your baby. It's not looking good for your baby boy. In fact, if I were you, I'd gather all your family, because his diagnosis does not look good at all." In fact, they said, there's a very small chance he'll survive this. But if he survives this, then he will have mental health issues. He's got such a severe brain damage, such a knock on his head, that he's going to be in and out of hospital for the rest of his life. And so they said to her, "So if I were you, I'd begin to gather my family, because this is not looking good." They walked out of the room. And this mother did what only a mother can do. See, she was raised in a Christian home. And she got down on her knee. And she took that baby boy, that two-year-old boy, and she said to the Lord, "Lord, if you give him to me, I'll give him back to you." The next day, that baby began to improve. And in fact, within a week, that baby had recovered. The doctors and the nurses were calling it like, "This is unbelievable. This is like miraculous. Because this boy he should have died." And so that boy recovered. And then that boy grew up and he was never in hospital again. That boy at the age of 21 gave his life to the Lord and he became a Christian. He'd always sort of grew up knowing about God, but at the age of 21, he entered into his own relationship with God and knew God for the first time at the age of 21. Then that boy became a pastor. And that boy ultimately went on to lead his own church. And I'm grateful for that mother who prayed that prayer, because that baby boy that mother was praying for is me. And my mother prayed for me. And she held on to that belief that God would work out his word, that God would do what he promised to do in her son's life. For many years, I wasn't walking with the Lord. For many years, I was doing everything but. I was searching for temporary highs and only to find that with each high you get, you still feel empty. So then at the age of 21, after living a crazy, crazy teenage life with a mum who continued to pray, she prayed for me. And at the age of 21, I gave my life to Jesus. And from that day until now, over half of my life, I've spent serving the Lord and giving my life to Jesus and seeing God do incredible things in my family all around me. And I want to encourage you today that God's word for your life remains true. That God's word for you is irrevocable. In other words, it means that if God says something over your life, He can't take it away. If God gave you a word last week, that word is still true today. If God gave you a word last year, that word is still true today. That God's word for you is going to come to pass in the name of Jesus. But you've got to stay fully persuaded that God's going to do it. And so right here, forward at home, wherever you're watching, if you're watching this right now and you're saying, I don't have my own relationship with God, then it'd be my great honor to pray with you. It'd be my great honor to invite you into a prayer and into a relationship with you. It'd be my great honor to lead you into the presence of God. The Bible promises us that that if you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, then you are saved. In other words, you don't have to do a whole bunch of rituals to be accepted by God. You don't have to work work to earn God's love. All you've got to do is believe. And if you confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, in that moment you are saved. Oh, but I've done a whole bunch of things in my life that are unforgivable. Oh, no, nothing's unforgivable for God. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. And it doesn't matter who you've done it with. God's love is enough for you. God's grace is enough for you. It doesn't matter where you've been. And it doesn't matter how you've done it. God's grace is enough for you. There's nothing you can do to earn God's love. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more than He already loves you. He just loves you. He loved you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to die for you so that you could have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so, right?
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.